In 2015, Southern Ohio was in the midst of an opioid crisis. The community came together and created a race. A race that would help prevent drug use in the area for generations to come. This is no ordinary race, and this is no ordinary story. The Buck 50 is a 24-hour team relay race that spans 150 miles of trails, roads, and paths winding through the Appalachian foothills of Chillicothe, Ohio. The Buck 50 has teams of 10 and 5 runners, 2 van drivers, all for one great cause. The Buck 50 is an incredible 2-day adventure for runners, an organization that has vowed to fund every willing student wanting to live a drug-free lifestyle. This is the story of the Buck 50, the race that has created a ripple effect of change and inspiration for more people than we may ever know. One race, one cause. This is Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 Podcast. Hey, what's happening out there in podcast land? Dave Huggins here, race director. William's in the house today. How are you, William?
Doing well, Dave. How are you?
Good. It's starting to thaw out around here.
Yeah. We almost got a little bit of a taste of spring going on outside.
We've had a contest in our house that I lost. There was this big, huge snow pile in town, and it was about 6 or 8 feet high, and we had to pick a date of when it was going to be gone. I picked Tuesday, and I was wrong.
Oh, is it still there?
Yeah, barely. I think Payne won. Rachel had Wednesday, but it's nice to not have snow for Scotia, although I do like winter.
I kind of forgot what grass looked like there for a minute.
It was pretty covered there for a while.
Yeah.
We have guests not in studio, but on the phone with us, so we'd like to welcome Christine Mock, a.k.a. Runner Number 6.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you, Christine?
I'm good. So I am very glad to have the snow melting, by the way.
This is, you are a Buck 50 aficionado. You've been around forever. How many races have you made?
This will be my 8th year. I only missed the first one.
Perfect. Well, there, you were in a group of a lot of people that, you know, we had that whopping 38 teams in year one. Then it doubled, and we've been doing well ever since.
How many 9-year runners do you think we have of that first maybe 380-ish people?
I really would have to do some pretty serious research. I know they're out there.
Yeah.
I can see, because the one thing, the software that we use, Race Entry, it tracks, I think, name and email together. So if you change one of those things, it starts to put you in a different category. So
gotcha.
Yeah. When we start to actually pass out 10-year awards, we'll...
But man, 8 years, that's nothing to sneeze at, though.
It's not.
It's a long time. That's been...
And we're still figuring this goofy thing out every year.
Oh, I feel like it's a well-oiled machine now. I feel like you guys got this.
You feel good. You feel good based on what you saw from 2018 till 2025. Sounds like a lot.
That's crazy to think of.
Yeah, I feel like it's come a long way. I mean, we've come from, I mean, the first like tracing app that you guys had for the like tracking to now we use the GPS. I mean, that's huge. That's a huge step.
Yeah, the GPS is nice. Really nice. We looked for a solution for that for a while, but we never really could find a company that could do what we found.
2018, I had almost forgotten about that one, that app that shall remain unnamed. We don't want to call anybody out. It just didn't seem to, you know, it's easier to for us to require people to carry a GPS tracker as opposed to carrying their phones, even though most people do carry their phones anyway. There just seemed to be a lot of pushback at that time, and it didn't really work the greatest. But this, what we're using now, Adventure Enablers, they do great. We love having them, you know, track our
runners. It's been really nice to kind of see, you know, where we're at, so that, you know, especially like when we have the group sleeping, it's nice to not be guessing
how close they are to the next like major transition zone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say the only thing that we have ever had as far as a mishap goes in our, 2 years that we've had them was when I had to go, I went to a checkpoint. I believe I went to Adena High School, not realizing that I had the trackers for a handful of teams still in my truck. And we had a bunch of teams, man. They were flying at like 75 out 35 towards Frankfurt. So that had some people raising eyebrows, but they did return. So, but Christine, okay. I'll get us started here. When you think of the Buck 50 and when you first heard about it, what was the first thing that went through your mind?
I'm laughing because I was thinking of this today. So I had a friend that did the original, friend of family that did the original race the first year, and he knew I was a runner, and we got together and he kept telling me about, he goes, there's this race that I did, and you know, we ran through the night, and I'm sitting there listening to this guy, and I mean, at that point I was pretty, you know, pretty well into running, and I'm thinking, what is he talking about? Like, he's talking about Vans and riding in the middle of the night, and I'm like, what is he talking about? And he goes, I think you'd love it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. So the next year, you know, he comes to me and he goes, are you interested in doing that race I told you about? And I said, well, I thought you said this was like a work thing. And he goes, well, we had someone drop out. And I was like, okay, yeah, so you, sure, sign me up. You know, I'd not really know what I was signing up for, but I was like, sure, I can run. And I came into, at that time, we were running three teams in tandem together, and yeah, they all worked at the same place, except for me.
Okay. So that was all part of the JP Morgan Chase folks.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they asked me, you know, they were really nice. Then, you know, of course, I lied about my pace. I said I was slower than I was in case, like, I didn't want to slow them down.
Okay.
So I lied about my pace, and, you know, we did the race. It was great. We were that team that Dave always mentions at the bottom of the email that had to skip the legs. We were that team, all three of them. We were a little behind and off of our, we didn't estimate right, but that's okay. And so when I got done, you know, you're exhausted, and I got home, and the first thing I thought is, like, who on this team do I need to get in the good graces of so I could do that again? I could not imagine not doing that again. They kept me.
I do feel like it is our biggest challenge to explain this crazy thing that's called the Buck 50. I mean, there is the Ragnar races out there. There's 30 or 40 of those across the country. But even so, from a runner standpoint, there's no way I feel like to understand it until you just do it.
I mean, when you try to tell someone, you know, you're dropping someone at one place and then the van's driving and the runner's running, and it just, you really have to see it in motion to really understand it. I really feel like you really have to see it.
That's kind of, it's, it sounds crazy when I hear you say it and I'm listening to it. I'm like, it really does sound strange.
It sounds bizarre to people.
And really, even I think once you get into it, if you're new, it's like you got to get through a couple checkpoints to start feeling like, okay, now I start to understand the expectations for the next 24 hours here.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest, when you tell people about it, and when I tell runner friends about it, their biggest hang up is, and now that I captain, I tell people this all the time, I clarify it all the time, but the biggest hang up people have is, well, how do you get, you, I can't get up and run in the middle of the night. I mean, that's, people are like, I'm sleeping, you know, like I don't know how people get up and run, and I can't explain it, but I have never seen anybody not do it.
So you have two teams in the race and those two teams run together. So essentially, you have a built-in running partner the whole time during the race. Is that correct?
It is. So we run, yes, two teams together. And so I took over as captain 4 years ago. And, you know, we take it, it's a little more complicated now that people have formed relationships and want to run with a certain person and they want to run a certain leg, and some are trail runners, some are not. But we we take a look at their paces, and if they don't have a specific partner request, the captain sits down and looks at their paces and says, you know, these two people run about the same flat 5, 10, we take a 10K pace. If we don't know you, we take a 10K pace and we say, this is your flat 10K. And then we kind of add, based on the difficulty of the leg, we add kind of a buffer. You know, so I'll sit down and look at it like that.
You know, now that I think about it, Christine, since you've been captain, I don't recall any errors in your pace projections. You've done a great job with this. You're a really good captain. See, I had forgotten those three teams that were far behind and had to skip. That's been totally lost in my memory, but now I just have good vibes from Riot.
I'm going to take a second here for my mentor who ran the original race. He captained for a few years after Thompson.
Yep.
He basically, when I got handed this thing, by the time I got to it, he had set it up. The thing runs itself. And this is basically all I had to do was not break it.
Well, you have a really good group that comes every year. So of your group, how many of those, I see you guys around, so I recognize many of them. Is anyone in your group ran every single year?
Thompson was right behind me. Okay. With most number of races run. And we have a few that have done, I think, if I've done 8, they've done 6. We have a few 6-time runners. So what usually happens is someone has to drop out for whatever reason, you know, life, they're training for something, whatever it is. But usually when we had a good couple of years in 2020, 2021, we picked up some runners and they have stuck around and they have become part of at least 4-year team here.
It's kind of fun how I hear stories of people where like the Buck 50 almost kind of becomes like a reunion of when people actually get together during the year to hang out and stuff.
Yeah, we see each other. We always have these great, you know, like we're going to get together and train together. But, you know, life happens. And so every year we manage to get together and it's like nothing ever changed in the year between because we're all there to do the same thing.
So I know you are a solid runner 6. So we're going to talk about the 3 different legs of runner 6. So if there's any other runner 6 folks out there, they can prepare accordingly based on Christine's 7 years of experience of knowing what in the world's going on out there.
I have never seen anything else besides runner 6.
If I think about it, 26 did change a little bit, but for the most part,
just those the other ending legs
have,
of it.
Yeah, all those other ones have been the same. Okay, so runner 6 is kind of cool because you start at Edina High School,
which is my favorite place to start. I love starting there.
Okay,
I love it.
So tell us what that feeling is like. Your first 5 runners have ran the race. Runner 5 is coming into that checkpoint, and you're getting ready to take off. What's going through your head?
I mean, so when you say most runners, then this is just across the general. It says, you know, people always say, don't trust the first mile. My first time running the Buck 50, I saw that first leg, and it is, besides that little hill that you guys stuck in there right coming out of the school, right off the bat, it is a beautiful, flat, you have the sunset, you got some cows, you got some fields. It is just stunningly beautiful. It is a nice, easy 4 miles. I really love it. It's a great leg to just, like, you have the sun setting. It's a great leg. I really like starting out of Edina. There's a lot of energy because all the teams are there. I mean, it's an awesome leg.
Yeah, that's pretty.
And I thought, they're all going to be like this. This is going to be great.
It's definitely different
but
you
haven't asked me about 2 and 3.
When you're 1 or 6, it's definitely kind of neat because you have this, like, you know, there's the starting line, so there's a bunch of people. And then when you're starting from checkpoint 5 at Edina, there's a ton of people really even those major transition zones are kind of busy. But yeah, six is a cool leg to start the race at. I can totally appreciate that.
Yeah.
So where do you guys sleep at between your legs? So once you run six, you finish up at 10, and then what does your group do before they go back out on the course?
So we are actually right down the road from Edina High School. We're at Sun Valley Campground on State Route 550.
We
were at Checkpoint 3. It's where Checkpoint 3 used to be.
Yep. That is, I remember being at that checkpoint 1 year. I made it, saw that crew of people, and I was kind of curious if you were still there. So that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's where we hang out in between our legs.
Okay. So then you head back out in the middle of the night. This is that part you were talking about where you have to wake up and head back out to Walnut Creek Campground so you can run leg 16.
Yes.
So talk to me about how that feels different than leaving Edina High School as the second leg in the race.
Well, the first year, and I mean, my memory got a little fuzzy over the course of the years, but I feel like the first year I started, I have a picture somewhere. I mean, I'm starting in the pitch black. There was like a pop-up tent and it was pitch black. There were like two spotlights. And I'm thinking, I went from this big, bright high school to like, where am I? Like, where am I standing right now?
Yeah, I don't think we had the light plants back then.
No.
That was pre-light plant day. Yeah, it is dark. That place, and there's no cell service there, by the way, people. So if you plan on communicating with your teammates, good luck. It's pretty sparse.
There's my favorite sparse spot is up by the shelter at 17. There is a 1-foot by 1-foot square that you can get cell service in.
Oh, wow. You'll have to share that with me. I'm going to have to find you out there so I know where that's at.
Oh, I don't know. There was a volunteer standing there, and I was trying. Our team was lost, and I was trying to call, and she goes, I'm going to move. You stand right where my feet are, and you will get service. I stepped into her footprints. I got service, and the second I stepped out, it was gone.
Okay.
So you ask your volunteers.
So tell me about leg 16. What is it like running leg 16 when you leave Walnut Creek Campground?
Well, leg 16's, you know, it's marked as a yellow, and I think it's earned that because it's got a consistent set of rolling hills. They are nonstop. They're not big ones. They're not small. They're just consistent and rolling, and it's the whole course. It's a 6 mile. It's rural. If you asked me to identify anything in the daylight, I couldn't do it. It is dark. The whole thing is dark.
It is a pretty rural area without question. There's times I've called that the escalator because it kind of just goes up very gradually for the whole 6 miles.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's one of those things where it's, you know, it's not terrible to wake up to. You know, I'm not like, you know, it's not like I'm climbing major hills. It's just this consistent roller and you kind of just plug on through it. It's not bad. It's not bad.
So you feel pretty good after your second leg.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that one, I get in the van and I'm usually out cold almost as soon as I finish that one.
Okay. So then we're going to talk about what I think is the most underrated leg as far as difficulty goes in the Buck 50. And that's leg 26. And there's a lot of people that will get, you know, leg 24 gets a lot of hype, rightly so. Leg 22 gets a lot of hype. They're both trail legs. But the elevation and the continual elevation in leg 26 is pretty much forever. So tell us how that, A, how that feels, and then B, why does Christine Mock continue to be runner six every single year?
I'm going to answer the question you just asked first, and I can answer this honestly. It's like childbirth. I've had two children. You forget what it was like. You forget standing at the base of each of those. There are five nasty, ugly hills out there. And when you are at the base of each of those, I'm glad there's no small children around. There are a lot of words that come out of my mouth that I am so glad there are no small children around. Because you just look up and it just goes up forever.
There's a lot. There's lots.
But there are five big ones.
Five big hills in leg 26.
And they are ugly. I've run probably close to 50, 60 races in my life. And I tell everyone those hills are unlike anything I've ever seen.
And you even, I mean, as long as you've been running the Buck 50, you were a part of the original leg 26, which was even a little bit worse than it is now.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
The new one is no cake, but it's a skosh easier. Skosh.
Yeah. You took that last like elevation going down was rough because you're used to going up and then you're all of a sudden in this massive free fall. So that one came off a little bit, but it doesn't change it. It's still pretty.
Yeah, you get a lot of value on leg 26 with the elevation and the mileage. So if you're running the Buck 50 for the first time, what is a piece of advice that you would give to a runner six to make sure they're prepared for that third leg?
You got to treat those hills like you're hiking. I'm sure there are elite runners out there that just shoot right on up them and more power to them, but you just got to shorten your stride, put your head down, you use all the cuss words you got in you and just kind of march yourself up.
Just keep going.
It's more like a, yeah.
Well, I can tell.
Don't stop halfway.
Here are, before the very first Buck 50, I was out driving roads one day with my wife, and I said, can we run out there? I want to go look at this leg another time before the race. And so we started driving leg 26, and Rachel says, well, where's the checkpoint at? And I said, it's up here a little further. So we're driving a little bit longer, and she's seeing all these hills that we're encountering, and she once again says, well, where's the checkpoint at? And I said, it's up here a little further. And then there's some more hills and some more drives. She goes, Dave, where is the checkpoint at? I said, it's at that Valero station there on South Main Street. She goes, you have got to be kidding me. But to clarify and complement your statement of hiking those hills, Corey Culbertson is the only five-time Buck 50 champion. He's ran five Buck 50s and won them. He was the team captain on four of those five teams, I think.
Wow.
And Corey was running leg 26 one year when we finished at the Valero. This would probably have been like 2019. And when he got to the checkpoint, his teammates were like, dude, where have you been? He said, trust me, you have no idea where I've been. And they're like, seriously, man, it took you a while. He goes, I had to walk. And they're like, you walked? He says, yeah. He goes, I had to. You just can't even imagine what that was like. So even the great ones slow it down a little bit to make it over some of those hills in Ross County.
They're brutal. They're really brutal.
Okay. So what's it like being a team captain? Like, that's not the easiest role. You've done it for 4 years. You obviously continue to do it, but what's your secret in wrangling two teams of runners?
You know, most of our runners are returning, or they they're brought in by someone that's already on the team. You know, if someone drops or decides not to run it, you know, they're brought in by someone that's already on the team. And like I said, I mean, the people that came before me on our groups, like Thompson, he set this thing up to basically not fail. Like, he just handed it over to me and said, don't break it. So,
okay. So he gave you a lot of good insight to begin with.
Yeah. We send out, you know, I send out emails, we get payments in. I mean, you know, yeah, you get occasionally, like, people, life happens and, you know, they forget this or that, but nothing major. We have a Google Doc, a sign up sheet, you know, we have a timeline, the same things happen at the same time every year. It's really not bad.
Good. That's awesome to hear. Cause I know that there's many people who get nervous about being a team captain, and you just proved that it's not as bad as what people make it out to be.
No, I mean, you know, you ask your team what they're comfortable with. I ask them what pace they want. I ask them to give me their partner requests, their paces. Like, send me that information. I can plug it into a spreadsheet and make it happen. But it's worse if you don't tell me.
That's right. It's all just about good communication.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is something that you pack for race weekend that you think some people might forget? I gotta have this come race weekend?
Like, me personally or for the team?
I'll say both.
Me?
Yeah.
You know, because we camp, we have a sign-up sheet, and, like, we've kind of learned what we absolutely need at a camp. And so we use the same sheet every year, and it has, like, the things that we absolutely need. Like, those are the things that, like, the coffee maker. I mean, I'm not a nice person without coffee. So if someone doesn't show up with a coffee maker, like, we're going to have a problem.
Okay.
But I mean, we have our things. I don't know if there's one specific thing, you know, like, I'd say mostly be prepared for the elements. Like, the one year we had the rain, like, having more umbrellas probably would have been great. So I'd say do your homework on elements that are coming, like rain, cold.
Do you guys shower out there?
Yeah, we got a shower out at the campground. That's the best part.
Oh, that's so nice. So nice. I would... Yep,
Norma.
I actually come back to my house and shower before I go back out on the course after the last teams have gone out. And I've been doing that since 2020. It was my daughter's idea to do that because she goes out on the course with me. And that's been one of the best things to kind of give me a little bit of new life. Always helps me get through the evening a lot better.
It only took...
Yeah, you just...
It only took a race in the dead of summer for you to realize that, I should take a shower in between.
2020 was
rough. I'm not going to lie. People laugh, but 2020 was my favorite year.
Really? Are you a heat person?
I am. I ran my first leg, and I looked at my watch. It was 95 degrees.
Mm.
And I was in heaven. I could not have been happier.
That's good, though. I'm glad we can make some people happy. I'm not a hot weather person.
I mean, it wasn't even, I think most everyone out there would tell you, because we didn't know as runners when we were going to see the inside of a live race. When we had the chance to run a live race, it was like you let loose caged animals. We would have run in anything you gave us.
That it was fun. Like, I would say that as challenging as that was, I think that, you know, I always kind of relate the Buck 50 to like a family where everyone helps out each other. Everyone cares about each other. It's all important. We're all cheering each other on. We're all here doing positive things together. But really, 2020 was a little bit of extra juice because it was like, we're going to do something that most people aren't willing to try or aren't willing to push through or aren't willing to take the steps to make it happen. And it really was beautiful. It was fun.
I mean, that heat, that it was probably so hot that it could make your eyeballs explode.
it was warm. It was real warm. But I will say that's probably one of my favorite years.
That's awesome, though. That feels good to know that... we have runners like yourself who really were thankful that we did the race. And after all the years you've done the race, that's your favorite one.
I know 2020, That was the year where we were finishing setting up at one point, or we were in the middle of setting up, and you and I, we were heading down to Scioto Trail to meet with somebody for the marking of that. And it was almost like we caught like a break there from the drive from the church to Scioto Trail. And me and Dave, we just kind of sat there in silence, and we were kind of laughing at it at the same time in the midst of all this silence. Nothing was being said. We were just like, we're actually going to get to do this. And I'm glad you actually bring that up, because that really does shed a whole new level of appreciation for that year's race.
That was magic. That year was magic.
It definitely taught me a lot. Like I was pretty determined, just because I felt like we had this group of runners who wanted to participate, and we were going to find a way to do it. And we did. So it all worked. And here we are, getting ready for year number 9, and we have 119 teams, which is pretty exciting. Maybe next year we actually sell this baby out at 150. I'm really excited about that opportunity.
That would be awesome. It'd be so good. Pass it along to anybody I got.
It is. We certainly appreciate folks like yourself who've been with us for so many years, and like share the love of telling people what it's about and what we're doing, and try to explain the craziness of it, because it definitely takes that kind of personal touch to make it happen. What do you eat during the buck 50?
I am the worst person to ask when it comes to my like nutrition. I pack 3 things religiously for the buck 50: Cheez-Its, gummy bears, and Fruit Loops.
Cheez-Its, gummy bears. What kind of cheese? Okay. So I like Cheez-Its a lot, and there's all kinds of different kinds. What's your favorite kind?
Just the original ones. None of the burnt ones. Nothing funny like that. Just the original ones.
Yeah. Original are good, and I like the extra cheesy. The toasted ones, not so much.
No, I don't want anything burnt. Nope.
I'm a white cheddar kind of guy.
White cheddar?
Yeah.
Those aren't bad.
The grooves kind of throw me off, though. Those confuse me. They're trying to be Cheez-Its, but they're just not. It's not that. They're not it.
It is a great basic snack. And the gummy bears. Okay, so do you just kind of eat those as snacks, or is that kind of like your gel replacement kind of a thing that you use when you're running?
So for my gummy distance bears. Running, which I carry Swedish Fish in my pouch for marathons, half marathons, Swedish Fish.
I've definitely heard great things about that type of an element to use as a snack or a little bit of extra juice as you're running versus like the gels, which many people think of. But there's a lot of mixed reviews as far as how well those treat people's bellies. And then you have the waste or the trash, and what do you do with that and all that good stuff. So I love a good Swedish Fish answer.
We should start suggesting runners just carry around one of those giant like 15-pound gummy bears, like that giant one. I could imagine that. Get a nice fanny pack, carry that around.
I'd go for it. I'm an addict, so yes, I'm in. Sign me up.
So okay, now we're talking about gummy bears. Shimoda's. There's a place in Cincinnati. They make their own gummy bears there, and they are crazy good. Crazy good. They have these ones called Dreamsicle that taste like an orange. Oh, they're so good. So good.
Well, I need to get myself down there now.
Shimoda's. It's kind of on the northwest side, right off of 75.
Okay.
What flavors do you like? I actually know someone that's there. I'll get you some for the race, I promise.
I am an equal opportunity gummy bear eater.
Okay.
There's rarely a gummy bear I can find that I don't like. No chocolate covered ones. None of that fancy business. I don't like chocolate.
Yeah, they keep it pretty simple. They have like, you know, the cinnamon, the orange, the cherry. They got pina colada ones that are pretty good. And
I've had mojito ones. Yeah, I'm pretty equal opportunity across the board there.
Yeah, I'll talk to my contacts in the Cincinnati area. We'll get some Shimoda's gummy bears.
We're talking an awful lot here about snacks. We're going to make Chris Scott jealous.
Chris Scott likes his snacks. What's your favorite distance to run? You talked about running lots of races. What is your favorite type of distance to run in a race, Christine?
My favorite, my sweet spot's a half marathon.
Awesome. Awesome.
We have news for you. I think have we shared this before on the podcast? I don't know if you've heard it yet, but we will be having the first annual Buck 50 half marathon this summer.
When is that?
It's going to be Saturday, July 5th. So hopefully for you, it'll be really hot.
July 5th. Huh.
I can hear her checking her calendar already. Like, that's exciting.
I already am. I mean, you signed me up for, are you putting it, wait, now, before I like commit here, you're not putting it out on leg 26, right? Because I'm not going to show up for that for a half marathon.
No, but it's, we're going to do it in Scioto Trails. So it'll be, like the downhill section, which is leg 23, like right now, leg 23 starts from the bottom and goes up to the fire tower. We're going to be starting on like the other side of the park, and there's a less steep gravel road that goes up and around. But it'll be kind of a neat race because it's mostly going to be on like gravel roads. So it has a paved / trail-ish feel to it, but it's going to be tree lined the whole entire way. So it's like you're outdoors. You're just not running in dirt and jumping over roots and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but that's where I would get a little nervous. I have that written down on a piece of paper right in front of me now. So I'm going to be looking into that.
We've got to do a couple more pieces of the puzzle, but we feel like that's a good time of year for us to add another event. There's not a lot of half marathons in Southern Ohio, and it does seem to be a distance that people enjoy. So you should be seeing some news about that soon. I'm going to use the word soon.
Love it. I love it.
Running shoe. What kind of running shoes do you wear?
For all 14 years of my running, I have been an ASICS Cumulus.
That's great.
I have not changed.
Have they changed much? I know the shoes are.
Yes.
Okay.
I go in and I'm fitted every year for shoes, and every year I go back to the same shoe.
Nice. Nice. No sense in if it's not broke, don't fix it, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Anything else you would recommend or tell someone who was just hearing about the Buck 50?
So when I send out my email to any new runners when we're filling a spot, and I have an email ready to go for them that has all the information they need. But I say the same thing. I tell them, you know, I'm on blank year, whatever, fill in the blank for whatever year I'm on. And I tell them that when first concern we cover right away, you will be able to get up in the middle of the night. That energy from the race, the people around you, everything, it will carry you. You will get it done. You will survive. You will be okay. And then the last thing I always finish up with is, if this race were that bad, would I be coming back for year number fill in the blank?
True that.
That's it. There's nothing more to it. It's a great race.
Thank you, Christine. You have been an awesome Buck 50 participant, and you have been an awesome guest on Running at the Mouth. So we appreciate you very much.
Thank you for having me, and I will see you guys in April.
Sounds good, Christine. You have a great evening.
Thanks.
We appreciate you listening to Running Off at the Mouth, the Buck 50 podcast. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, please email us at raceinfo@thebuck50.com. And as always, have a great day, Buck 50 runners!